Chapter 44. Joshua was surprised to see how graceful the singer was, with that flexible, well-proportioned humanoid body as it clambered around its branch. He'd first encountered the singer in a river, after all. But if it was a natural swimmer, it looked like it was just as good a tree climber as any troll. Joshua didn't know how Sancho had known the singer beast would come to this world, to this particular tree. He didn't know how he and the local band of trolls had cornered this animal out at the end of its branch, but if it was adapted to hunt trolls in the first place, maybe it used the same super-stepping passageways Sancho had used to bring him here. Once again, it struck him that there was evidently a hell of a lot he'd yet to learn, along with the rest of humanity, even Lobsang, about trolls and their lifestyles and their capabilities and their predators. Anyhow, right now that singer animal was backed up, close to the end of this branch that hung impossibly high and long in the sky, trapped by the massed trolls that had evidently driven it up there. And Joshua could see his son now, apparently unconscious, draped over the branch at the feet of the singer. Joshua couldn't tell from this distance if Rod was dead or alive, or if he was injured, how badly. All that for later. Now, he just had to get his son back. Sancho stood beside him, holding a chunk of reaching wood, a section of branch, a rough tube.
Fire!
Joshua studied the log.
What are you thinking?
Smoke him out somehow. Sancho shoved the reaching wood cylinder into Joshua's arms, losing his usual phlegmatic patience.
Fire!
With one finger, he tapped Joshua's pocket, where the matches were. Joshua studied the cylinder more closely. It was deceptively light, like all reaching wood, and obviously organic, but peculiarly shaped.
This is a chunk of the tree, right? Hollow inside, the wood stuffed full of hydrogen. Short and straight, almost streamlined. And these grooves on the outside surface are almost perfect spirals.
Then he thought he had it.
Wow. Are you serious? I bet the troll call has no translation of missile, but why would a tree grow natural hydrogen-fueled missiles?
Fire!
Right, I get it, I know. Don't think, just do the job. You're the boss, Sancho.
He eyed the singer beast standing over his son, snarling with that big ape head of the trolls goading him.
Okay, but let's have a practice run first.
Joshua pointed the missile out into the open air, away from the trolls and the singer. Then, improvising as he went along, he packed the base of the tube with dry leaf matter and cut a stub off a candle to serve as a fuse.
Not having any ambition to blow myself up now I'm so close to Rod.
Then he struck a match, lit the candle stub and backed hastily away. The organic matter smouldered, sparked and flared, hydrogen vessels popping. It went briefly quiet, and Joshua thought maybe he'd created a dud. But then a bright white flame erupted from the base of the missile, and the tube soared away into the air, trailing a thread of billowing smoke. Joshua saw how it spun on its axis, those spiral flanges catching the air, and as a result, it flew straight and true just where Joshua had aimed it. Until, quite quickly, it ran out of gas, and, flaming, fell away into the open air.
Well, I'll be, Joshua said, astonished. I think this might actually work.
Ooh,
let's do this.
In the end, it was a question of timing. The trolls were hunters, used to cooperative operations. So the troll band kept up their barrage of cries and fist-waving at the singer, which snapped and snarled back, posturing over Rod's prone body. All this was to distract the singer from Sancho, who silently, calmly, almost without a sense of threat, crept forward from the pack and edged a little closer to the animal and to Rod. And Joshua forced himself to concentrate on setting up his second branch missile. The first and last he'd ever fire in anger, he supposed. And he had to get it right. He tinkered with the aim, improvising a kind of launch rail with twigs and sticks,
and sighted along the slim body of the branch, cursing his failing eyes. When he thought he had the alignment as right as it would ever be, he didn't hesitate. Again the lit match applied to a candle stub, again the smoulder and pop of hydrogen-soaked leaf matter. He limped back out of the way and got into cover. The fuse burned down. Again, that flare of rocket power, again the flame and the smoke as the missile surged away, and it slammed straight into the belly of the singer beast. The animal fell away from its branch and went tumbling into the air. Joshua howled his triumph. But so massive was the singer's body that the missile, still burning and spinning, was deflected and began to soar back towards the tree, spiralling in the air, leaving behind a complex smoke trail. Even as the troll band yelled and whooped in exultation, Sancho dashed on all fours along the branch and picked up the limp form of Rod as if he was no more than a bundle of rags. But Joshua was distracted by that flare of light far below. His missile, still burning, had shot back into the body of the tree, and, as Joshua watched, it slammed into the trunk at a junction with a thick branch. There was a deep, heavy explosion, and the whole tree shuddered. Oops. But here was Sancho, with Rod. Joshua helped the troll lay his son out on the surface of the branch. He checked Rod's pulse at his neck, leaned over to hear his breath, felt its warmth on his cheek. Then he ran his hands quickly over Rod's limbs. Joshua, eyes brimming with tears, working fast, forced himself to be methodical. "He seems intact," he told Sancho. "Pulse steady, breathing, no broken limbs. Any internal injuries? Well, that'll have to wait until he wakes up. Dehydrated, probably starving hungry. We're lucky the singer didn't just kill him. Or maybe that's an animal that likes to consume its prey warm."
"Fire," said Sancho.
"Sancho, buddy, thank you."
"Fire. Oops. Fire."
And now there was a tremendous blast, coming from deep within the body of the tree. The branch they clung to creaked and swayed. Glancing around, Joshua saw that the troll band had scattered, the individuals clinging wherever they could get a hold. Further away, branches were cracking and breaking, huge chunks, themselves the size of mature trees, falling away into the air. A brilliant glow shone from further down the trunk. There was a rising plume of smoke. And now more explosions, as Joshua guessed, more natural concentrations of hydrogen were breached. He stared at Sancho aghast.
"What have I done?"
"Oops,"
Sancho yelled. And he picked up the limp rod, threw Joshua bodily over his other shoulder, and ran back along the branch of the exploding tree. As he was jolted along, head hanging upside down, fresh detonations battering his hearing, Joshua muttered,
"Eat your heart out, Colonel Quaritch."
As Joshua and Rod figured it out when they talked it over later, you didn't evolve to be a sky tree, a five-mile-tall reservoir of intensely flammable hydrogen gas, a five-mile-tall Hindenburg, without developing strategies to survive fire, even to exploit it. For thanks to lightning strikes and meteor falls and volcanic events and other natural calamities, there would always be fire on any world, even those worlds not yet visited by Joshua Valiente with a box of matches. But the rogue missile had sparked a cascade of explosions that, with surprising speed, blew the mighty trunk of the tree apart. The tree itself could not survive, and much of its substance was lost to the flames. The colossal pyre created a plume of smoke and ash and water vapor, the product of burning hydrogen in oxygen, Joshua realized, the opposite of electrolysis, that reached for the stratosphere. But out of that plume sailed significant bodies of reaching wood, naturally separating from the disintegrating tree, branches, chunks of trunk. Many of these were rather like trees themselves, with slim trunks, branches with clusters of leaves, roots dangling in the air like the tentacles of an octopus. These sailed out of the carnage, slowly settling to the ground. They were seedlings, Joshua guessed, saplings, the descendants of the tree, and the repository of its genes,
the seeds of the next generation. There even seem to be two kinds, like pollen, like flowers, male and female, maybe. And meanwhile, to ensure those seedlings had room to flourish, from out of the dying tree's central blaze flew sparks of liquid light, trailing smoke plumes that were soon miles long. These were branch missiles like the ones Joshua had ignited with his matches, but here, serving their true purpose. Fired blindly and at random, but in all directions, these splinters of fire sailed into the foliage of the dying tree's equally mighty neighbours. Not all the missiles reached a target, not all the targets succumbed to the flames. But enough missiles got through, enough neighbours were destroyed to ensure that the originating tree's seedlings had at least a fighting chance of finding open ground to root in and sunlight to drink in, away from the shade of more mature competitors. Of course, as each secondary tree was detonated in turn, more missile branches arced out across the stupendous forest, until a good fraction of it was ablaze. Joshua wondered briefly if the whole damn continent was going to go up in a tremendous firestorm, but he soon saw that the fire was stopping at wide avenues that cut through the forest, natural fire breaks, and above his head, heavy grey clouds seemed to be gathering, laden with the water vapour rising from the burning trees. Maybe they would be a source of rain that would limit the fire further. Lobsang, on some tree-choked world, had once told Joshua that he believed forests could be seen as living things in themselves, a collective almost like troll bands, sleeping in the cold, drowsy in summer, with the sap rising daily like a single tremendous heartbeat. So it was here, just a different life cycle on a different scale. The hydrogen forest was using the fire to spread its seeds, but the blaze itself was self-limiting, it seemed. In a century or two, the young trees would grow and the forest would heal, stronger than ever. And it would be as if this inferno had never happened, its only trace a layer of enriching ash in the topsoil. As the forest turned into a natural, if spectacular, battlefield, as a flood of animals fled from the bases of the burning trees, things like deer, things like rabbits, even a few troll bands, one seedling gently sailed towards the ground, with an elderly troll clinging to the slim trunk, a human being draped over each of his powerful shoulders.